Hey everyone, welcome to Two Out the First. It is March the 12th, 2024. I'm Ryan Balogi. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk about a couple of things today, but we're really going to lean into, the news conferences today from the Players Championship, talking about particularly what Jay Monahan had to say, or had a lot of nothing to say and a lot of words at TPC Sawgrass. This is the really one of two opportunities where people get to talk to, where the press gets to ask questions of Jay Monahan. The other is sort of at the Tour Championship. He'll kind of give a wrap-up of sorts, but usually there's not as much media at the Tour Championship, and it's not quite in the same level of time commitment, vein, you know, whatever, as here at the Players, because this is the PGA Tour's flagship event. They feel it is, and it's on their turf. I mean, this is PGA Tour property. That's not the case at East Lake. Their headquarters are right across the street. Like all of that stuff is, it compels the commissioner to be there and to give the state of the tour, so to speak. And Tim Fincham used to do it and would do the same thing, although he never really faced the same type of scrutiny that Jay Monahan faces now in this role. He would get some about, you know, when Tiger crashed his car, you know, how that was supposed to work out and why the tour didn't penalize him, and you know, maybe stuff like that. Maybe rules of golf questions, you know, talk about rolling back the ball. Are you in favor of rolling back the ball? Just things like that. Like that, those were the controversies of the day in the Tim Fincham era. And now they are obviously so, so much more in the era of Jay Monahan. So Monahan spent, I think, about an hour all told. You know, it wasn't a short news conference. It definitely wasn't the longest one of all time, probably, but probably pretty close. And also, this is an important year for the Players because it's the 50th year of the Players. So they're kind of trying to commemorate the history, but also talk about where they're going and what they've accomplished. And I think it was a really, it was a contrast of styles, a contrast of attitude, because on one hand, Monahan wants to come out and sound confident and talk about all the things that have been accomplished and what he feels are the accomplishments of the PGA Tour and vis-a-vis him. And at the same time, he wants to be defensive about the live relationship and what the Saudis are doing and the fact that there is no deal yet. So he doesn't want to talk about it so much because he feels like he can't, and doesn't want to necessarily even acknowledge that it could go wrong, that the Saudis could say no, that they could walk away, and then this whole thing kind of blows up in everyone's face. It just, all told, was a very, I don't know what I expected. This is Jay Monahan. This is who he is. He is a guy who wants to be a leader, who wants to seem tough, but then isn't very good at taking the heat. And most people aren't, for what it's worth. Most people are bad at getting criticized. I'm bad at it. I've tried very hard over the course of my life to learn how to not respond to criticism in a petty way. And yet, even through my best attempts sometimes, I still am petty. I still respond sarcastically or with stuff that's a non sequitur. That happens. I understand. It's hard. But I'm also not being paid at least $14 million a year to run the PGA Tour and to try to guide it through what is probably the most contentious time in its history since it was created away from the Tournament Players Division of the PGA of America in the late 1960s. So, you know, we're in different places, and I admit that. And I admit everything I'm going to say here is a guy who is not in the room, a guy who is not in any room, who doesn't know this guy. I don't know Jay Monahan personally. I didn't know Tim Fincham personally. That I don't have a full spectrum of details. And anyone asking questions today also didn't know and doesn't know all of the details. Because Patrick Cantlay doesn't know. And Patrick Cantlay was asked about that today. He was asked about where things stand and what he thinks and what he thinks the fear could be if a deal isn't done. And Cantlay was very candid, said, I'm not in those conversations. I don't know what's being said. I don't know what's being talked about. So I don't really know where things stand. But Monahan came in and said, talks are accelerating. And he used the word accelerating and continues to reiterate this idea of a positive outcome for the PGA Tour. And that is very careful language he used back then in August. And that's very careful language he continues to use today to suggest that they are negotiating in good faith with the Saudis, but that they're not willing to be rolled over for whatever the Saudi demands are that are contentious. I don't know all of them. I don't pretend to know all of them. But that a positive outcome, as he has said before, could mean no deal. It could mean no deal. And that if that is the case, then they've got a new investor in Strategic Sports Group, and they may have other opportunities for investors because of Strategic Sports Group, and I think that's important to underscore, and they will go from there. And that seemed kind of the biggest tenor of all this. And Jay Monahan, just like Tim Fincham, hates the idea of trying to address hypotheticals. He tries very hard to avoid addressing what they can mean. And if you and I were just talking, or Jay Monahan and I were talking, and there were no microphones and it weren't on the record, he probably would speculate. But his words carry weight, not only to people in the media, not only to fans watching, but to his players, to his employees, to the Public Investment Fund, to LIV players, to the DP World Tour. It carries a lot. It goes a long way. So he has to be careful. I understand that. I realize he can go up there, field a whole ton of questions, and say not a whole lot of substance back because of what he's bound to in the negotiation, trying to keep that private, and also all of the people that he has as stakeholders for every word that he says. Still, I feel like the thing that I fail to understand after all of this is, what is the return on investment for Strategic Sports Group? How do they get their money back? How do they grow? And I think that the cynical answer is when they sell it to somebody else, when they unload their stake to someone else at a higher valuation. I mean, that's how investing in startups work, right? You have angel investors or early series investors, Series A even, and they get a bigger stake for less money because the company isn't valued as highly. Those companies can make their money when Series B comes in, when Series C comes in, the next rounds of investors, and you go to those investors and go, well, things have changed. You know, we only have about 10% of the company available to purchase, but your stake is now going to be 5 times the price it was in Series A. Well, guess what? Everyone on paper who invested in that that first round made more money, and they could even have the option to sell some of that. So at the pure kind of VC level, that's what could happen. But in terms of trying to maximize value, Monahan did allude to some things here, and this is where he's trying to make the connection to me, the fan. And that connection is, if we make this product better, then ultimately there will be more fans. There will be more people who watch on TV. There will be more people or stream it. There will be more people who engage with our content. There will be more people who show up in person. There will be more corporate sponsors who are interested to connect with those people. They can charge more money to attend events. They can do a lot more things in that. They can create more content like the Netflix show, Full Swing, which the PGA Tour has invested money in this concept of, called Pro Shop Media. Chad Mumm, who's the executive producer of Full Swing, has raised $20 million to create this media company. They now own Scratch, which the PGA Tour owned. It was meant to be kind of a offshoot style content play that never really turned into anything in 6 or 7 years, even though it was a good idea. It was an interesting idea, but they own it now. Who cares? That's like a throw-in. But the tour's throwing money at trying to develop its own content because they, I guess, feel like they need to tell their story better. And if they can create rights deals around that content, then they can get paid. That can make money. You know, they can license out Full Swing. They can license out their own behind-the-scenes stuff. they could pay for it and make the money off of it. Okay, fine. But they also need to make the product better. And Monahan acknowledged that in degrees of, okay, well, what do we do for the future of the signature events? Do we keep them at this kind of nearly 70 player range? Do we expand them to 90 or 100? Do we have cuts at all of them? Do we make them even smaller? What about an all-exempt PGA Tour? Is there room to cut the top 125 that are exempt down to 100 or 80 or 70 and then have something a little bit more fluid but with smaller fields? He's not willing to commit to anything, and nor should he. But at the same time, he's willing to entertain the real data-driven reality that people are walking away from this product. In droves, by the way. If you look at the data from the last couple of tournaments, the first couple of the year were actually pretty good. They actually were. The Century was up. Sony was up. I think Amex was up because of Nick Dunlap being the first amateur to win on the tour in 33 years. But otherwise, it's been pretty bad. Like down 15, 20, 30%. Some days, 40%, 50% compared to year over year or tournament over tournament. And, year over year of that tournament. It's painful. I mean, the ratings are in for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Overall, each day down 28, 30, 32, 38%. I mean, just pick your day. It's all bad. It's all bad. And that means they have alienated effectively, I'm going to guess, anywhere from a quarter to a third of their audience in 12 months. And they lost a lot of people, not as many people, but they lost people last year. And they held on just well enough because the idea the first time around of the signature events, which were elevated, then designated events, now they're signature events, the idea brought people in significantly more than the regular versions of those events. And the other events suffered 15, 20, 25%, but you had enough of a good run of players winning, top players winning. And Monahan alluded to that today, that in the first portion of the season leading into the Players last year, you had top 20 players winning everywhere most of the time. And you don't really have, there was no player outside the top 100 in the world at the time that hadn't won or had won. And this time, that's not the case. This is the first time you've had a player inside the top 15, top 18 in the world win with Scottie Scheffler. That's pretty crazy, right? Pretty big difference. So I think Monahan's quick to acknowledge it, trying to allude that this is good for fans. This will be good for fans. And we're only a month into this thing, really. Month and a half into this thing. So those changes aren't going to come super fast. But they need to come quickly. And they need to come quicker than they're coming. Because I think the only way to win fans back is to prove to them that you heard them loud and clear, and that you're going to offer them a better product. And that means less commercials. That means more golf shots. That means more ways to watch specific players. Fans want to watch their player, right? They want to watch every player, every shot, if possible. And that is doable. They've done it at this championship. It's cool. It really is great. If that product can come to market faster, that's a good thing, right? You can go follow the player of your choice. You can have a better digital experience. The app is better, but I think some people still complain about it. I'm a website guy, so I don't have as much about that or as much to say about that. The end result needs to be tangible things that the tour can come to this event in either 2025, 2026, 2027, preferably 2025. Preferably that they could say this by the end of August. And go and say, look, we have made things tangibly better in the last 5 months, 5.5 months. We can point to a better TV experience. We can point to better in-person fan experience. Whatever all those things are, we have made it better. And here are the results. We've gotten people to come back. It's not down 30% anymore. Maybe it's just down 15%. We're winning people back. It'll take time. this is a seismic event, you know, have the right messaging around that kind of stuff, and then see what follow through can lead to. But I don't get the sense from Monahan that there's the weight of that plan or the weight of that need has hit them quite yet. Now, maybe it's starting to, because the ratings are colossally bad and have been for three tournaments in a row. Mexico was horrible. Cognizant was horrible. API was horrible. This week's probably not going to be as good either, to be candid. It's probably going to be down, I'm guessing. I don't know, but I'm guessing. And I think they need to come up with some things quick, roll out some things quick. They don't even have to be big deals. They don't have to be a total overhaul. Just simple stuff. This week is very nice because they try to have limited commercial interruption for the players. So showing more golf shots, right? Less chatter, more insight, more data-driven insight for fans about what's actually happening on the golf course. That's tremendously helpful. That's good stuff. It making it, you know, take the beer down in price. I know you're trying to turn money. I know you're trying to turn a profit. But one thing, one really easy thing you can do to get people who came in person and paid their hard-earned money, make the beer cheaper. Give it to them at a dollar over your cost. Or whatever covers your overhead plus a dollar, right? If that's $8, it's $8. If it's $6, it's $6. Whatever that is. And tell people explicitly, we have heard you loud and clear. We know you want a better fan experience. And we want to kind of give you a mea culpa. And we're not going to invite you to make it a total S show like the Phoenix Open. But come here, have fun. Don't pay a ton for what you're experiencing this week beyond, you know, getting in the door, whatever that was. And let's go have a good time. Give people ice cream sandwiches for a dollar. You know, it's the basic stuff. It's easy stuff to appeal to people. Show more golf shots, less chatter, better in fan experience, cheaper stuff, cheaper pricing on the good stuff. Go that path and you're going to be in a better, you're going to be on a better path for the future. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait until, oh, well, we'll roll this out in 2025. Well, that's too late. It's way too late for that. And at the same, I'm not even worried about the too late being live. Live or not. This conversation doesn't happen without live existing, but it doesn't have to be solely focused on what live does or does not do. What you need, the PGA Tour has needed to improve its product for a long time. A long time. And they've just kind of been willing to stuff it down your throat because you have no alternative. Well, now there is one sort of, but that alternative people don't like. People aren't watching. 200,000 people watched the final round of the LIV Hong Kong event on the CW and tape delay. 200,000. That's basically what they've settled into. A fan base of less than 250,000 people. On television, at least. You know, the app, the people, the app, YouTube, Caffeine TV, which rigs the numbers, by the way. Caffeine TV's viewership is not what they say it is. But okay, you don't even have to acknowledge that LIV exists. You just have to acknowledge you got to be better. You don't have to do anything directly in response to LIV. You just got to be better. And the basics are right there in front of you. More golf shots, better in fan experience, cheaper merch, cheaper food prices. Instead of trying to make people pay $115 for a Players Championship polo shirt made by Peter Millar, which I know probably cost Peter Millar $40 to make. Sell it at cost. Sell it at the cost to you. Whatever they mark it up so they can make, you know, $65, fine. $65. Do stuff to win people's trust back. This is easy politics. Very easy politics. But instead, really we get as a word salad overall, you know, about all of this. You know, you got, it's just, it's hard to have an hour news conference where it doesn't sound like there was any plan for what are we gonna tell people we're doing. I understand the PIF thing, and we got to keep that secret, and that's its own set of problems. But You could say, you don't need to talk about the PIF to say what you're doing. Should have come up with a 5-point plan, 3-point plan, that you can come back here to these people who are sitting in this media center and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this, 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 and this. And we might have to eat it to the tune of $50 or $100 million in terms of commercials, merch sales, food revenue, all this type of stuff. We're going to have to eat it for a little while. And that's okay. But we want to earn our fans' trust back. We want to show them that we care about them and prove it to them for the long haul. And these are actions we are taking to do that. It is that simple. Instead of a word salad about how somehow this is all going to be better for fans and everything's going to work out better for everybody. Because, for example, yeah, you can access the tour in more ways than ever, right? You can access them streaming. You can do it through Netflix on Full Swing. You can do it on ESPN Plus, which is a paid service, by the way. You got to pay to watch the tour. But I see the value. But you got to pay to watch it. You got to pay to watch on Peacock. You got to pay to have cable, if you still have cable. And, oh, by the way, you can also watch it on CBS and NBC. And the rates fees for all of those things have gone up. And what's the net result of that? Well, if you pay more money for the product to show it, for the right to show it to people, you got to make it back somehow. So you got to show more commercials, or you got to charge more for them, or both. And the end result is not good for the fan. It's just not. That's just the truth of it. So maybe there's a different way of presenting it. Well, we don't really have that here. There's a question about, a very pointed question. Do you think there's a possibility to generate more value from your media rights deals? And the end answer, I'll get through the whole answer, but the last word is from Monahan, absolutely. And this answer is all wrong. And I'll read to you, not all verbatim, but basically says, I think that when you look at the media rights deals we're in with NBC Golf Channel, CBS, ESPN Plus, and 43 international media partners, I go back to what I was just saying. As we go forward, we think having the investment that we have from Strategic Sports Group, which allows us to invest back in new technologies, new data, new ways to present our sport, ultimately as we go forward, yes, I think that we'll be in a position to significantly and materially grow our media rights. Absolutely. That's not the answer. That is not the right answer to give. The right answer to give is, I'm not right now worried about more media rights. Strategic Sports Group knows we are locked into long-term contracts with our television partners and our streaming partner, ESPN Plus. What we need to do right now is to focus on making the product better and using some of their investment money to reinvest in that product through our production facility that we have in-house and make it better and more accessible. Then, when we make the product better, we can demonstrate that our product is better for a period of time. We can go back to those partners at the end of those deals and say, we have helped you make it better. We have more people's attention. More people are watching. Our product is more valuable. We need to make our product more valuable. It needed to be a, here's what we need to do statement. Not a, oh yeah, I mean, we could definitely get it to a number that ends in billion next time around. And by the way, the media environment is crumbling. Absolutely crumbling. Everywhere, every which way you look, media is crumbling. This profession is extremely hard right now. And it has been for 20 years, but it's extremely hard right now. And you've got that answer also kind of shows no understanding or a lack of understanding of what the media rights landscape looks like, what it could look like in 5 years' time, 10 years' time. I mean, that's very frustrating. So I think, and there was frustration from Monahan and feeling like he was asked the same question a bunch of different times. And the reason he's asked that question a bunch of different times is because he doesn't give a satisfactory answer about, is there a fear of what happens with if there's no deal with the Saudis? What would you have done differently? How does this help fans? What about charity? All these types of things. Here's a good question. You mentioned the renewed focus on the fans. They have increased their calls for a unified pro game. Do you feel responsibility to bring that together, even with the understanding that there was another league that created this divide in the first place? Monahan, I feel a responsibility to put the PGA Tour in the strongest position every day. We've taken a big step forward in our progression with SSG. We continue to be in those discussions with the PIF, so I clearly see that as an opportunity for us to strengthen our tour and to strengthen the game. In direct answer to your question, I take that responsibility seriously, and as a board and as an organization, we're committed to trying to get to a place where there's unification. That's the most straightforward answer he gave all day, and that was two paragraphs. He could have said something a lot simpler than that. I do feel responsibility to bring the tours together. I do feel a responsibility to bring pro golf back together as best as we can. There are two parties involved in this, Public Investment Fund and the PGA Tour, along with our partners of the DP World Tour. And we are working very hard to do that. Again, a different kind of tone, not a corporate tone, not a boardroom speak tone, but here's reality, kind of kitchen table politics version of this. And I think it would have been a whole lot better, but that's who Monahan is. This is who this guy is, for better or for worse. And probably in boardrooms, it's very good because he can give people direction. He can kind of, he can have messaging and he can talk his way out of or talk his way into tough situations. But when you face something like this, this isn't necessarily for the media. I mean, he knows this is broadcast on TV. This is on Golf Channel. It was on Golf Channel Live. They're showing clips of it for 45 minutes after the fact. They'll show it for the rest of the day. This is not a press conference for the media. And sometimes there are those. This is a press conference for the public. And you have to tell people in direct terms, short bite-sized terms, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and how it's going to benefit them. And you tell them again. The public speaking 101. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell it to them. And then tell it back to them a different way. Right? Make it relevant to them. Done and done. And I think that is a struggle for Monahan at times. But I think the overall takeaway here for me is we don't really have a whole lot of news on the negotiations. He used the word there, accelerating. 3 months after it expired, the framework agreement expired, and more than 9 months into this process is mind-boggling to me. But here we are. And I don't know what will happen next. Because on any front, it's just a whole lot of, well, we're trying, and we're going to come up with some stuff, and we'll see you soon. Okay. So big old nothing, and it feels like that was a shame. Really a shame. So maybe a C+ kind of news conference, C- news conference. And most people are not good at that kind of thing. It's a skill. It's a talent kind of thing. You have to work on it, learn it. But some of the things I felt like he was unprepared to talk about was, It was evident. It just felt like he didn't have it all ready. He didn't have the messaging he wanted to give. He had facts. He had lots of facts, which it's a good thing. It's important to have. But you got to have more than that. You got to have talking points. So I know that's very inside baseball. I know that that whole thing is very, it doesn't matter to what's happening inside the ropes. I mean, ultimately it does in a way, because this week we have a diminished tournament because there are some of the best players in the world that aren't playing. They're playing that other tour. And at the same time, you show up to the podium and you say, this is the best field in golf. This is the gold standard. You still use all those talking lines. But everyone sitting in that audience knows John Rahm's not there. DJ's not there. Brooks isn't there. Cam Smith isn't there. And like I said, Taylor Gooch isn't there. That can make you laugh. Taylor Gooch isn't there. You're missing important players. And there may only be six of them or seven of them. But those six or seven do stand out. And they do mean something. So I don't think you can just waltz up there and talk about it that way. But here we are. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate it. Tomorrow we'll talk about some other stuff. We've got a tournament in a couple days' time, so we will have some actual golf talk. I do want to talk about what he said or was said by Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele and Scottie Scheffler, but you know, we're 25 minutes into this. I'm not going to drag you through the mud on that and make it a 45-minute show. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. We'll have more news conferences. We'll get to talking about that as well. And if anything else comes up, we'll find a home for it on 2 off the first. Get a hold of me, Ryan, at thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky, at Ryan Balaji. I'm on YouTube and Facebook, Ryan Balaji Golf. And Golf Newsnet is on all of those services at the handle Golf Newsnet. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow on 2 off the first.